is no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
We don't normally do this directly after Good Pud.
Yeah, I like how yucky I feel.
I never thought that we would. Well, just because I consumed.
How was the deviled egg pudding?
I wanted to die very quick death.
You know what was really nice about it, honestly?
I feel like I want it.
You would like it. I should have said
someone would like it.
We threw it out just under the smell. But it was the
smell was pretty horrific.
But it was just, like, honestly, a more egg-forward mayonnaise.
Okay.
Which, that sounds like a nightmare,
but
I think,
then
to
we
a
tried,
lot of people.
Yeah, we tried bacon soda.
Mayonnaise is made out of eggs.
But see, that's the thing, and you'd think, like, oh, it's just going to be like you're eating a bunch of mayonnaise, which, don't get me wrong, we all love to do, but it is, but, like, add a bunch of the taste of hard-boiled eggs to it.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it sounds, you're talking like...
You like exactly. Deviled eggs.
This is what I'm saying.
This is the
problem. It was, essentially, you could take that pudding and you could put it in the shell of a hard-boiled egg and it would taste just like a deviled egg.
Yeah, and that makes me want to cry to death.
Deviled eggs could have been an alternate title for Rosemary's Baby.
Hey!
Now that is an intellectual film-based joke.
Oh my God, is that all we're doing here today? Because I am not prepared.
Today is intellectuals. Welcome to Side Stories. I'm your host, Henry Zebrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson.
I'm smart!
Oh, you know when he dog barking, you know he's smart!
I'm a smart dog!
He's got that dog in him. He's got that dog.
I'm scared of him.
And we have our film correspondent, the tiny-headed, big-mouthed Jackie Zebrowski.
I've got a little head, I've got a big
tiny
mouth.
Tiny-head, big mouth.
You know, here's the thing. Henry's been telling me, and I'm not going to use the phrase gaslighting, but Henry's been telling me I have a small head my entire life. And then I went to get my head measured, and I actually have a medium-sized head.
Nice! I got a big one.
Thank you. Yeah, you do have a big head.
It's not a big head.
No, it could. It's not like too big.
No, not you. I'm talking about her.
Oh yeah, well yeah.
It's a small head.
It's not a small head. It's a normal sized head.
You got a small head.
You do have a little head.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why I'm not as famous as I should be.
Yes, because everyone knows that famous people have gigantic heads.
Big
that is
fat
actually
skulls.
That is the truth.
Humphrey Bogart probably died younger than he should have because of the size of his head.
Too DiCaprio's big. Got a huge head. Mm-hmm. Jack Black's got a huge fucking
Clooney's
head.
He's got a noggin.
Huge noggin. Brad Pitt's got a huge noggin.
Yeah.
It is
they're
really
all tiny with Mike Myers.
These
dude.
Are all dudes.
Mike
you
Myers
Russell.
Is a giant head.
Well, yeah, of course he's
well, yeah.
Impending
well, ladies,
doom.
What's weird about ladies is that they are all literally the size of Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
Every famous woman, I saw what's her name? Ooh, she pretty. The
Kate big, Blanchett.
No, she'll never let me near her.
Kate Winslet.
No, not if she has several orders against
Kate Beckinsale.
Me. Also doesn't want me near her. It's what's her name with the big wide eyes.
See, who's, we're looking at pictures
Brandy?
Right now.
No, who's got the eyes on either side of her head?
That's
Emma
Brandy.
Stone.
No,
Anya Taylor-Joy.
That's the one.
Oh yeah, she got a hammerhead shark head.
She's very small.
I know, but she's sexy. It's a sexy shark.
Yeah, but she's tiny. Like it's almost like when you see them in real life, they look like little baby people.
Yeah, but that's why I like her exaggerated like features. I feel. Like that's what like really seduces
you. She does look
you.
Like an emoji.
That's why she's good on camera.
Yeah.
So today's episode,
Furiosa was cool.
It was good. I liked that it was like a chapter. Surprisingly, a fantastic turn by Chris Hemsworth.
I'm very impressed.
Oh, he was very good in it.
I want to see more. I never thought I would say the words. I want to see more from him.
Seriously,
wow.
I did not think that he would be good. But today, what we are doing, because this is the spooky season, is that we have been charged with the seminal holiday task. Of 31 for 31. That is 31 horror films for the 31 days of October. And we wanted to do a bit of a roundup of what we've seen.
Yeah, we haven't watched all of them yet.
We have not watched them. It's still in the middle of the month.
I'm so curious as to how you guys came up with your list, because I follow a rubric every year where I have to like fulfill different topics and themes to help me make sure that my list is varied. Enough.
I'm going to
Our
do that.
Our list is pretty varied.
It's pretty varied, but I love what you did, Jackie, because Jackie does have each day is its own specific bracket. Like,
oh,
it's
cool.
own specific horror, which also shows how many subgenres are within
so many
horror films. And here, just list off a bunch just
up
the top.
We even change some of them year to year, because, like, you know, you can go through the different generations, like 50s or earlier, 60s, 70s, 80s, but then there's sci-fi horror, queer horror, zombies, a Wes Craven film, a Friday the 13th film. Any kind of scary kids, whether they are the bad ones or something bad happens to the kids.
Then they gave you the movie Them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Which is scary kids.
Very scary kids.
Do you know that the diner in Nightmare on Elm Street 4 is called the Crave Inn?
Really?
Oh. Yeah, yeah. A little, I'm sorry to interrupt, but factoids.
I love factoids. It's one of my favorite. Bring back pop-up video, everything. That's why I love Joe Bob Briggs.
Pop-up movie.
Yes, that's why I love Joe Bob.
I mean, that's just me at home with my computer open while I watch a movie.
Usually what I do.
I know, but that's the thing. But then I get invested and I miss important shit today.
No, because you're making the producers pick and choose what they're going to tell you about the facts.
I was doing that. I was watching Frankenhooker today, and I started looking at my phone to see who the actors are, and I almost missed the giant pile of tits.
You just never do that.
Frankenhooker was so much fun.
Frankenhooker is amazing.
I'd never seen it before, but I know we'll get into it.
It's my last Helen Lauder movie, I think.
But
I haven't seen Basket Case 3.
You've never seen Have you seen Bad Biology?
Yes. We watched it for Adam Wertz's bachelor party.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was a lot of
good
fun.
Bachelor party.
Long time
what
ago.
Excites me about the different topics, though, like, for instance, vampire. I'm like, I've seen all the vampire movies. But then I looked into the newer movies that came out, and there's one, now, I have not heard of it at all, called Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person. Apparently it is a dark comedy about a vampire that is just trying to, like, ethically be a vampire. But it's supposed to be really good.
It's a very indie film. And a lot of times with indie films, the only problem is that they just do stuff like they don't have any horror effects.
Horror effects. Okay with that, though. I think it's fun sometimes when you're put into that box and you got to figure it out.
Blair Witch Project shows that you'd need $10,000 to make a fucking movie. Terrifier 2 was only made for $250,000.
Terrifier 1, $35,000.
Are we going out the gate talking about Terrifier? Because I watched all three Terrifiers this week for the first time.
Me too.
Just hold one second. Before we go into any of these, I just want to make sure up top, because of how many screaming, the angry emails we get about this topic, is there is going to be some light spoilerage throughout the rest of this episode.
Yeah.
It is going to be light. We're not going to talk about Terrifier 3.
All right, came out in 2024.
Anything, yes, VHS Beyond, we won't get too into.
We will not talk about that. We will not talk about anything that came out this year. Maybe Joker 2, only just because we hate them.
And we
just
can talk about the new Salem's Lot, too.
Haven't seen the new Salem's Lot.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't seen it yet. I have not seen it because it's not on my list.
It's not on my list. Our list, please.
It was on my list, though.
All right, so we are going to talk about what we've all seen. Now, maybe we can. I think Terrifier is a good thing to start with, because Terrifier 1, to me, is an example of a great return to form of old school horror iconography. Now, one thing about Terrifier 1 is that it's definitely not complete and it is definitely uneven. But the thing that stands out for me with Terrifier 1 is obviously Art the Clown.
What do you mean it's not complete?
Why don't you think it's complete?
Well, just because it feels thin compared to what Terrifier 2
would then become. Well, there's no plot.
Yes. But I like that there's no plot. I like
it's just
that there's
chaos.
There's no lore about Art the Clown.
But that's why I'm saying it's amazing as a first chapter.
Yes.
I think that the fact that they went on to, I think that if it came out, Terrifier 1 came out and there was no sequel, we would eventually forget about that film.
Yeah.
But I think that Terrifier 2, with the addition of the lore, the blowing out of the story,
a little bit more money.
Terrifier 2, it's also the performer. The guy who plays Art is arguably the best physical actor in horror right now outside of the super skinny guy.
Doug Jones. He is, David Howard Thornton is unbelievable. I really didn't think I was going to like Terrifier at all.
Me
Terrifier
neither.
2 blew my mind again.
I can't believe how much I enjoyed the first and the second one, because I thought Beforehand, I thought this was all torture porn. And again,
it is.
Torture porn
is. It's not torture, though. It's mutilation.
I think it's schlocky, big violence. And I think that's very different than torture porn.
You know what, Jackie? I think that you're right. Because Hostel, like when I don't like Hostel.
Hostel sucks.
Yeah, I don't like Hostel because
it's not for me. And I look like the bad guy from Hostel 2 and people yell at me in the street.
You do look like him and I'm worried.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's what are you going to do? You know what I mean? People yell at Jackie.
Where's the girl?
What are you talking
about? Where's the girl? Let me see the girl. Find me. I pay money for girl.
Every single time we go anywhere and there's a picture of a warthog, if there's a picture of a fat bald man with a mustache, we are it. So it doesn't matter, Jackie.
And they go, yeah, and they go, oh, why you think it's me?
It's all the same. Yeah. It's all the same to us. But Terrifier, like, it really... Like, I feel that we miss the horror icon. And with Terrifier 2, that's why I was like, I realized watching it this time, because we went and watched a double feature last night, which is one of the first times I've seen one of those in a long time.
I had so much fun doing this with you guys.
It was fun.
It was a blast. We were watching Terrifier till 1 o'clock in the goddamn morning.
Yeah, because we watched Terrifier 2 and Terrifier 3 back to back, but all of us the night before separately had watched the original Terrifier.
Just to make sure we were locked in. But it shows it how, like, I love that he set a bunch of Easter eggs in Terrifier 1 that then developed in Terrifier 2.
Yes!
Yeah, I don't know if he wrote that in Terrifier 1 or just figured he'd expand on it, which seemed like to me.
Yes.
And what, I want to say something about Terrifier 1. All right, I have a theory, because I feel, low-budget filmmaking, we've been a part of it plenty of times.
Oh, certainly.
All right, so you know the old, you know the crazy lady in the basement of the house in Terrifier 1?
Yes.
With Emily the doll?
Yes.
I believe that baby doll was originally written as a baby and they couldn't afford it.
And they're like, couldn't get a real baby.
And they're like, fuck it. Make
she's
her
crazy.
She's crazy. She's got a doll.
Yes, oh, yeah, dude. I love that. Oh, also, she was a beautiful woman for how like insane and houseless she was supposed to be. I was just like, man, she seems like she's doing okay.
She was a good actor. And but he openly says, Damien Leone, like as I was reading about his process, was that it seemed like his whole thing was about capturing inspiring moments at the time. So he said, like, stuff with Art the Clown. Well, there's one spoiler. He was talking about Terrifier 3.
Terrifier 1 we could spoil.
We can't, but there was one example he used of talking with Art and being like, okay, let's do XYZ. They were doing a... together, like an experimentation of what we do with this character and how we react. And you would let him run wild and do stuff, and then kind of like they would find and source the sequences as they went. Because, like,
that's so fun.
One of the best parts about the movie, I think the reason why it transcends from torture porn into something else was the stripe of humor that runs throughout the entire thing
and
that breaks
genuinely
the tension.
Genuinely funny.
Yes, because you also...
The third movie's the funniest, I would say.
But then I would say that the last 20 minutes of the third one is the most brutal of the entire series.
Very
you
upsetting.
Think so?
The last 20 minutes
I think
of
because you
Terrifier
actually
3,
care at that point a little bit.
Maybe it was just because I was 5 hours in and I was desensitized by that point. You know, I didn't give a fuck.
But it's really, it gets pretty bleak at the end of Terrifier 3, but it's awesome because it does end on a cliffhanger, I will say that, which is pretty crazy.
Now, have you guys seen All Hallows Eve, which is apparently where Art the Clown originally
is a different guy.
Oh, okay.
Different actor.
And he says, as a matter of fact, the original, the makeup he wore in Terrifier 2 was based on the original guy, which is why it fit him weirdly for a long time.
Gotcha.
And now he got it all redone for 3, so it's more malleable. The original Art the Clown in All Hallows Eve, honestly, was kind of fucking... I'm not a huge fan of All Hallows Eve. It's a bit of...
We'll have to
put
it on the list next year because it's definitely a Halloween movie.
Very much so. But I think it's... I just think it's...
Is it as brutal?
No, because it's an anthology series, so it's got stuff in it. I just find it...
But
in
I
the
love
end, it's,
an anthology series,
it's
though.
It's very, very, like, it's very empty. Yeah, so it started with The Ninth Circle, which was a short film with Art the Clown. So the makeup was a thing that's been traveling with Damien Leone throughout all of these projects.
But it didn't have, like, I'm assuming the same, like, mime work. Like,
they elevated it all the way up.
They probably just got a better actor with
the Because you also notice in Terrifier 1, the comedy is way subtler.
Well, there's hardly any comedy. Anything that could be comedy in Terrifier 1 is just upsetting.
Because he only does a couple of laugh stingers. He kind of does a couple little bit. But largely, he is a gruesome, frightening clown. Mm. But again, why Terrifier 2? It's climbing up the ranks of one of my favorite sequels. I feel like it's very rare when you find that the direct sequel is better than the first one.
Yeah.
Where it was like, this is one.
I wouldn't say it's better, but I really also liked it a lot.
See, I think it's way better. I think it's way better. I think it's better across the board.
I think I was more just shocked that I liked the first Terrifier so much.
Yes.
That, you know, when you go into something thinking you're not going to like it, and then you're like, when you're so happily surprised that I was like, oh my God. I would definitely, now I get, I feel like in the past I didn't understand, as someone that goes to a lot of horror cons with my husband who makes horror artwork, I feel like there's so many people that have like tattoos, yeah, check out Crudink. There's so many people that have like tattoos of Art the Clown and stuff like that, and I never really got that because it's like you don't see as much with like, let's say a Jigsaw or something
like
that.
See, I don't think I want him on a t-shirt.
I don't,
I want Freddy on a t-shirt. I want Michael Myers on a t-shirt. Jason, maybe. But
Art
the Clown, it's just too upsetting, I think.
I will say is that I was hesitating. This is so funny. As a t-shirt hoarder and a person that also views my t-shirts as like my expressions of my style.
Yeah. Right?
This is the first time, and I was sitting there at the middle of Terrifier 3. I was like, I think it's time I'm going to get an Art the Clown shirt.
Wow. Yeah. I was just like, ready for it.
He's entering into the lexicon.
They weren't selling them at the theater.
I would have bought one if they were selling them.
But yeah. I was watching. I was like, this is, he has legitimately become a new favorite character of mine because of the, that's why it was like, Terrifier 2 feels like Elm Street 3 and Terrifier 3 feels like Elm Street 4. It's like very similar vibes and they're very similar. I love the soundtrack. I love the entire atmosphere. And there's just something about Art the Clown just having a good time.
Yeah. And that's all it's about.
Having a good time. He's just having a good time. All of the stuff that he does is simply for his own enjoyment.
You know what's interesting is every scene is brutal, right?
Yeah,
every scene's brutal, but like it's like a different style of horror every time. Because one time it's like a horror comedy.
Yes.
And then it just goes to like fucking straight up like sorority murder.
Yes.
And then it goes to like, you know, and it just like, it moves.
It transcends genres inside of the horror genre, which is really fun.
It adds layers. It feels like he's creating you. It's also one of the first times, honestly, that I've seen a final girl that I...
She was great.
Felt that emotional connection to.
Can we find her name real quick?
Yeah,
she was fantastic. Because also, Kate Corcoran was in Terrifier 1.
So good.
After interviewing her
Lauren
and
Lavera.
Hanging out with her, what was her name?
Lauren Lavera.
Lauren Lavera. Unbelievable job. But Kate Corcoran, we interviewed her during the pool party, the LPM pool party. I interviewed her. She was very lovely, and I didn't enjoy watching her get a kill.
I did not know how she died, and I was very surprised.
I will say, I like watching my friends get murdered on camera. I think it's fun. I think it's fun as hell. Because everybody that's ever been in those movies, they love getting killed.
Although, I don't know. I know someone that was in one of those movies and said, wow, you were just naked and being hung from a place for quite some time.
Yeah, Natalie did it. She's like, that's one of those things. It's a part of the pain that you're supposed to feel of the whole thing. It's fun.
Difficult to, but it's difficult
it's very
to do.
It's physically
like
difficult.
Yes. It's difficult to be very, very good at. And Lauren Lavera is really killing this series. But I was sad because, honestly, what I texted you guys this morning. I genuinely had a bad dream last night with the little girl clown that is
from
in Terrifier 2.
Yeah, that's
that
the best one.
Little girl clown creeped me the fuck out, and I genuinely had a nightmare about it last night.
That little girl is so good.
So good. She's so good in it.
She's
Terrifier
so
2 is really good.
Good.
But I did have fun with Terrifier 3, and I like that it's I always have a soft spot for a Christmas horror movie.
Oh, me too.
I think if I rewatch any of them, it'll be Terrifier 3.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Versus Terrifier 2.
Well, I'd watch the second one again.
I think Terrifier 2 is like, it's my favorite of them.
It is just like, if I could be honest, like I really enjoyed it. It's very good. It's a good horror movie. The story is actually good.
It's good.
It's just hard to watch.
It is.
Bodies get ripped apart like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it is just they don't shy away from showing you anything.
That's why I like it.
And it's just like, okay, we're just going to take the jaw off the face.
But I also like, and yet though he's not a bum.
And he did such a good job. We were sitting in the last row, and it was a couple of times when I just hear him go like, and I was like, Eddie, you're so strong.
Yeah.
You're doing so good.
Yeah.
But like, I've watched horror movies my entire life. You know, it's not
well,
like it's new to me. This is just, it's just so brutal.
No, but again, I like that he's not above just pulling out a gun. I think that's also fun.
That flipped me out.
I was so surprised.
I've never seen a slasher fucking just all of a sudden pop, 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 pop.
That's the best part. But I was like, he's an equal opportunity killer. He's he is a chaos agent. He reminds me of Freddy Krueger.
And
he reminds
me of that same thing. Thank you for not brutally showing children being murdered as someone that does actually kind of make me nauseous. I know,
but
I'm not like
not
the other girls.
Not holding back on killing children.
Killing children, but
I think is awesome.
It's a happy medium.
It's a happy medium.
Watching children get killed on film. And I think that it's fun when you show that Art the Clown does not give a fuck. And it's like, because what I also love
equal
is
equal opportunity.
That was my favorite part in Looper when he fucking killed that kid.
Oh, yeah.
Looper.
Well, Terrifier 3 apparently finally got a chance for him to get some huge, huge budgets. And there's an opening sequence of Terrifier 3 that apparently made everyone say no.
Everybody said no.
And I was just like, when I watched it, I was like, this is my film.
Terrifier 3 and Terrifier 2. Terrifier 3 more than Terrifier 2. I felt like there was stuff that they had to leave out in order to release the film.
Which one?
In Terrifier 3. I feel like there was full scenes removed.
No, buddy. Fully independently.
Really?
He made it completely independently. That man's free. Damien Leone
is
figured out
this. Well, I'm talking about for the MPAA. What, it's not rated NC-17. It's rated R, right?
What is it? It might be rated. It might be unrated.
Oh.
I don't know.
Not rated.
Yeah.
Not rated.
Oh, yeah, it's unrated.
Okay. It's completely independent.
Wow, not
That's what's
rated.
Fucking awesome, is that they got to do whatever
they
wanted.
I didn't know you could do that. I honestly didn't. I never thought about that.
You just don't get certain support. He probably can't go get it nominated for things, but then that's whatever. He doesn't fucking give a shit.
He's not looking to get it nominated.
But we have to, that's just where, like, I will defend this to my deathbed, which is what he does right is the fact that he goes so over the top. Because I do think that there is, like, Natalie and I talk about, like, one of our main issues with essentially torture porn is when it's realistic and not entertaining. When it literally is just torturing someone in a realistic fashion, and it's just crying and screaming, and there's nothing else going on.
And this is not realistic.
No,
okay.
None.
No.
When he grabs somebody, because the thing is, you realize it's all supernatural violence. There are things that you're doing that humans can't do. Even in Terrifier 1, we talked about how when they do that very famous kill of Kate, where they hang her upside down naked and split her in half, where it's like, that is ludicrous. Like, and so on that level, while it's a horrific sight, it's also over the top. You're just like, it really, it's more, it's art.
Yeah. The clown.
Oh,
come on.
Fuck you.
I will say, when he did, like, can we talk about that scene for 2 seconds from Terrifier 1?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, because it's old enough now.
Yeah.
You know, like, so she was hung upside down and cut vagina first in half with a
chainsaw.
Not a chainsaw.
Oh, no, a
handsaw.
Yeah, a handsaw. That's right.
I honestly felt like it was too quick.
Well, that
would have taken more
time.
That
would take like 20 minutes.
But that's why I explained to you is that that's why it's okay. It's because legitimately they split the person in half quickly to show you how impossible it would be. It is not in any way realistic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is not. It could not happen that way. The way it is happening is like it's entirely essentially comical.
Yeah. No, yeah, we're watching.
And you can see, we're looking at Terrifier 1, you can really see how much worse the makeup is too, right? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Well, and then you think about...
Well, they got more money.
I'm going to say a scene that I'm going to assume is like an homage to this scene that happens in Terrifier 3. You can tell definitely the difference then because of all the closer up shots of the sawing motions through the body part that it was sawing through.
Also, cool. Damien Leone does the makeup.
He does it all.
Really?
He had help in 3.
He had help in 3.
He had help.
Okay, yeah. But that's so impressive to me.
Well, that's the reason why I believe 2 took 4 years to make.
No.
Yeah, it took like 2018. I don't think it came out until...
And people were complaining because it was too long, but as someone that watched it late at night, I didn't think it was. I thought it ripped by.
Apparently,
it could have been a little shorter.
It took about.
I think it
could have been. No movie, unless it is. I've now realized that this is where I'm at. Is that if it is not Peter Jackson's original Lord of the Rings uncut, it does not need to be longer than 2 hours.
But that's why the first Terrifier is so perfect.
Yes,
because it is 90 minutes. Yeah.
But that's why Terrifier 3 is is got my vote more because it's not 2.5 hours long. Terrifier 2
is too long.
Yeah, but it's
like 2 hours and 2 minutes
long. Are we mad that they left Halloween and moved to Christmas without even explaining themselves?
No.
And no Thanksgiving.
No.
Not a moment of Thanksgiving.
Absolutely not. I love that they went to Christmas. Please.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that he just went to...
Love Christmas horror movies.
But why not make it come out in December?
Because then this is how they make their money.
And yeah, because then you're going to watch it now, and then you're going to watch it again in December.
I'm going to rent it again for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to show it in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's ever a world where they would do a Terrifier maze? Because the Terrifier is like its own maze.
It must be.
But
Universal
would have to like sign off on it.
Well, they'd have to pay
a lot of money.
Yeah. They rent the character.
Because in two, like, they spend time in a clown haunted house.
I know. They must have used one. It looked like they used one that was already existing.
Oh, man. Yeah. We just went to a great clown haunted house over at the Queen Harbor, the big scary ship. And they have a really good big top haunt that you can walk through. And it's a bunch of, like, you know, I feel like your brain is, you know, interspersed between, am I attracted to these scary clowns?
You're
or
just
am
like
I
that. You're the only person like
them.
This. Yeah, you're the only person.
But it was also just really good.
Hell yeah.
Live from your grave.
Well, all right. So now we've been talking about them for a while. The Terrifier movies are amazing.
For instance, for body horror this year, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've never seen Tetsuo. And I'm so excited.
You're going to be underwhelmed.
Oh, really? No, I was excited.
It's horrifying. It's really gross. I haven't seen it since college.
It's Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since college. It's a really good old-fashioned, everybody gets freaked out. It's a guy's turning into metal.
It makes me think of Titan. Remember Titan?
Oh, Titan was good.
Yeah, man.
But this one, I liked it a lot, and I think that it's very, it's an art film.
Okay, all right. I'll give it.
I'd say it's closer to an art film.
I'm just
so
excited.
Terrifier.
You know what I would say that was? I forgot just how truly powerful it was. It's Freaks.
Oh yeah, it's a good film.
And when we watched in the backyard up on the projector screen and on that scale, it's so good. And you kind of forget that the point of view of the movie is really about. So those of you who don't know, it is about a strong man. And a new, I believe it's like something like somebody does the trapeze, like the trees artist. They essentially go to scam out one of the lead little people that are a group of these people that work at a sideshow, these freaks, so-called
94
freaks.
94 years old, by the way.
So it's from 1932, And the movie has an undeniable atmosphere of real dread. It was done by Todd Browning, who also did Dracula.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful movie, but one of my favorite things is sort of like, it's kind of about how they're equal to everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, we're supposed to be, quote-unquote, terrified of the freaks, but actually, the freaks are an extremely loyal family. And what they are, which is why we like, I think it's a precursor.
Like the Fast and the Furious?
Yes, very similar. I feel like it's also why we like things like the Firefly family from Rob Zombie films, and why we like...
They're loyal to each other.
They're loyal to each other.
Married with children.
They have something with... It's like, they love each other. There's a heart there. And there's something about Freaks, about how, especially the guy that plays Hans, Harry Earls, when he's this little person, and this way, he does that little statement where he's just like, just because I am small does not mean that I am not a man. And he says this very powerful, like, he is this powerful little man. Like,
yeah.
And the revenge they get is wonderful. But it was also supposed to be far more graphic. Originally, the strong man was, spoiler, freaks kill him.
Yeah.
Right? They turn the grande dame Cleopatra into a duck woman. They cut her legs and arms off. It's one of probably at the time.
Is that killing her or giving her a better
life?
Different life?
You give me hashtag duck life.
You know?
And so the end of the movie, it leaves on this picture of the duck woman, which at the time, apparently, like, people would run screaming out of the theater. It's great, right? And it's awesome. It's even now haunting. It's kind of silly, but it's also haunting.
Yeah.
But apparently, originally, you saw them in their stills The movie is 65 minutes long. It was originally 90 minutes long. The Freaks, this movie was because of the nature of the movie and just straight up the too realness of having people with actual...
I mean, they barely have sound in movies at this point.
Yes.
Like, this was less than 10 years old.
Extremely intense.
It's on my list of 1950s or earlier because I've never seen it before, so I'm excited to check it out.
It's great.
But it does hold up, and you do recommend people to watch
absolutely.
It.
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Hell yeah.
I've never seen it before, and I loved it.
Hell yeah, that's great.
And, but the very end, the Freaks rise up and they get their revenge, but in the original cut, they had to cut 30 minutes because this movie... is what created the rating system in the United States of America for film. Like, this, the Hayes Code, all this stuff was made after this movie came out.
And then Terrifier told to shove it up and stupid.
Yeah, right. It's kind of amazing that it's almost like from Freaks to Terrifier 3.
Yeah.
Like, think about that long that road,
journey.
You know? And it's almost 100 years.
Yeah.
And Freaks is got... But the original ending was that the apparently you watch them... overpower the strong man, which you do see, but then they cut off his dick and balls, and then they show you mutilating. Apparently, originally they mutilated her on camera,
Jesus.
And then originally the ending was him singing castrato in this sort of like weird side circus, and then
it's
you see
awesome.
Her as the duck woman.
Wow,
which
man.
I've never seen real castratos. Can you look that up,
Rob? I don't
Rob?
Think it's a real thing.
Yeah, castratos are real.
Yeah, it was real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do believe there is one piece of evidence of castratos still singing.
Yeah. I know eunuchs exist, but they're not necessarily castratos.
No. A eunuch is one. A castrato is a eunuch that can go, me, 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 me.
I thought it was, oh.
I guess it depends.
Am I being ignorant?
On what happened to you.
Yeah.
Here we go. I got this right here, Mark. I got it right here. A modern castrato, not falsetto.
The castrati.
It's a dude. That's a dude.
Hell yeah.
No balls.
Sounds
All
great.
Vibes.
Hey, sounds great.
I bet, though, I'm going to say...
Everyone
probably sounded great before.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to say? The same thing for the lead singer of Boston?
You know what I love is these Simons here.
All these comments
are my favorite. I've learned so much just from the video and from reading the comments. Wow, his voice is so, so beautiful. Such a lovely case of turning something many would deem imperfect into an advantage.
Wow.
Incredibly admirable.
I would say one thing about the 31 for 31, that I understand that we had to present our list to the fan base and stuff. But I would have liked to build my list as
you
went.
Go.
Yeah, because now I feel like I'm stuck to this fucking list when there's so many other movies I'm excited for
that I have to wait till November.
Some spaces. I always leave a couple of wild card spaces so that I can just add in whatever as I go along.
Yeah.
Here's another comment on the castrato voice. I see why they did such a practice now. The voice quality is unlike anything else that I've heard before.
Oh, thank you.
It's just sad the amount of boys who are castrated annually for this.
See, I just think it's actually, you know...
Mangla, this is from Mangla Too Cool.
I just feel like the 31 for 31 is kind of nice because it takes away the pressure of having to choose what you're going to watch.
Yeah.
Because then it's just like, from this list, you got to take something from this list.
Thank you for sharing. He has such a beautiful and rich voice.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
You're lost in castrato world over here.
I will say that I've watched a good amount of movies now, and I've only disliked one of them.
What was the one you disliked?
The first Hatchet.
See, that's so funny, because it's
dog shit.
I put Hatchet on there. We actually probably got people connected to it, which is fine, but like I told Eddie, I put Hatchet on there because I thought he'd like Hatchet.
Well, Hatchet 2 is a whole other story.
It is.
The first Hatchet is just tough to watch.
Adam Green,
as a comedy fan, as like someone who writes comedy and loves horror comedy, being in a sketch group from Murder Fist.
I don't love horror comedy, so I think that's why I haven't checked this out. But you got to be good at the comedy as well as the horror if you're going
to
do it.
Hatchet's silly, but I would, when you get to Hatchet 2, tell me what you think.
I'm excited for Hatchet 2. I've heard nothing but good things about Hatchet 2, and I didn't want to watch it until I saw Hatchet 1.
Well, I really like you to do, because I just figured you'd really like Hatchet.
Yeah. Also,
I figured you were like, so try the sequels.
I mean, I don't have a choice.
No.
Now, I will say a horror comedy I think that we all enjoy is Frankenhooker, though.
I watched this morning.
Frankenhooker's a fucking classic.
I had never seen it before. Mm-hmm. I pulled it because it was on y'all's list. And I had, because again, I'm not always that big into horror comedy.
It's on Peacock if you want to watch it.
It is so much fun. It is an hour and 20 minutes. It's tight. It's silly. It's gory.
It's rude.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Old school. It's very, very old school, but I think that it holds up. I think that even now in our more enlightened age.
I mean, if you get upset about the use of the word hooker, it's not the movie for you.
Guess
but
who's
like,
not making...
It's a genre flick.
It's definitely...
Whatever. Exploitation, you know, like, what are we
going
to do?
Yeah, it was made in 1990, you know, it's not...
And it's clearly a comedy.
It's also an awesome name. And you should be so lucky to call yourself a Frankenhooker.
Yeah.
All right, because that's what I think.
I'd love to be one.
Own it, because also, she's beautiful.
Also, I watched Bride of Frankenstein this week.
See, I also was really excited for you to see Bride of Frankenstein because it's a gay allegory.
I don't see
That's why you were excited for him?
I don't think it's a gay allegory. How?
It is.
He wanted the woman.
He was being forced to be with her.
He wasn't being forced.
He's sexless.
He wanted the woman. He was excited when she shot him down.
Frankenstein's
he killed
monster.
So you're saying that he was forced to be cis and this is his biggest problem?
Yes. Also, she's not even in the fucking movie.
That's because it's old
school.
Sorry,
I'm yelling.
Eddie's angry today.
So she's not even in the movie.
This happened the last
he
time, too.
He always gets angry when it's
so
the two
angry.
Of us talking about movies, and I don't know why.
I like to yell.
So upset.
I just miss you guys.
I'm so riled.
We're
not actually
yelling.
Upset. I'm just yelling.
Yeah, I know.
We know.
We just get scared. We get triggered, all right? Sometimes we get triggered, Eddie.
Yeah, but Bride of Frankenstein was good, but it's basically Frankenstein, the first movie, and then at the very end, there's a chick.
Yeah.
It's fucking pointless.
Gay reading.
Hell yeah, man.
In the decades since its release, modern film scholars such as myself have noted the possible gay interpretations
possible.
Of the film. Director James Whale was openly gay, and some of the actors in the cast, including Ernest Thesiger, and according to rumor, Colin Clive, were respectively gay or bisexual.
So I'm glad everyone was gay.
Although James Curtis Whale's biographer rejects the notion that Whale would have identified with the monster from a homosexual perspective, scholars have perceived a gay subtext suffused throughout the film, especially a camp sensibility, particularly embodied in the character of Pretorius and his relationship with
him. Pretorius is gay.
He doesn't know where to see it.
Whoa.
Well, who cares about him? He's a fucking bad guy.
He is
the
bad
guy. We talk about Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein.
Yes, the monster.
Well, the monster and...
The monster whose effect is for the male hermit and the female bride he discusses with identical language, friend, has been interpreted as sexually unsettled and bisexual.
He's just chilling with the blind guy.
Also,
what he is, he's pure.
Lancaster is a goddess, by the way.
He's pure. Yeah. Frankenstein's monster is pure.
Is he?
He was just a child. That's how I view him as a child.
He was talking too much in this one, too.
He is more talkative in this one. I think that Bride of Frankenstein is my favorite of the Frankenstein films.
I would like to see whatever the return of Bride of Frankenstein when we actually see her kick some ass. That's what I was there for.
It's not about kicking ass.
It's about the love.
Allegory about sexuality.
Allegory.
The only love that exists in this film is for Dr. Frankenstein and his soon-to-be wife.
Indeed,
was
Frankenstein's monster relationship with the hermit has been interpreted as a same-sex marriage that heterosexual society will not tolerate. No mistake, this is a marriage and a viable one. But Whale reminds us quickly that society does not approve. The monster, the outsider, is driven from his scene of domestic pleasure by two gun-toting rubes who happen upon this startling alliance and quickly, instinctively proceed to destroy
it. But he's saying
it
with the accento, Eddie.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
the creation of the bride scene, according to cultural critic Gary Morris, as it continues, is Whale's reminder to the audience, his Hollywood bosses, peers, and everyone watching of the majesty and powerful of the homosexual creator.
Also, did you see in the...
When's that? I'm sorry,
a new
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, it's a new Frankenstein.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro.
Who's the monster? Somebody like handsome.
Oscar Isaac.
No, he's the doctor.
Oh, he is?
Whoa, Jacob Elordi? Is Jacob Elordi Frankenstein?
I'm so
Who's
angry.
Jacob Elordi?
He's big old boy. The one from Saltburn. Big boy from Saltburn. Euphoria.
Everybody likes his comedy.
Oh, okay.
Everybody likes his comedy.
He's a very good... He did the Elvis
Frankenstein
thing.
Should not be that hot.
I hate this.
You just hate. You hate when pretty people
play
get,
ugly things.
I know.
Let
you
them be a big ugly.
Be pretty, he should be the doctor.
He should be somebody. He should be Pretorius.
Now you know? Who's yelling?
Yeah.
Now I'm yelling.
I feel like every. This is just.
Why can't it be just ugly? I want it to be.
You're just angry. You were never going to be Frankenstein.
No,
Henry.
Are you?
You were never going to be Frankenstein.
Daniel was. He's short.
This is called ad hominem attacks. This is not about me. All right. This is about uglier. I'm talking about uglier, bigger people. This is should have been played by. You know who should have played this? Luka Doncic.
Or you know who I really would have liked to see do it is Batista.
Yeah. Ooh,
but he's not tall enough. Yeah, he's so thick.
Yeah,
he's like my size.
You really don't need anyone who could speak to do
this.
These
is
roles.
What I'm saying,
yeah.
Jackie.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't need to be Jacob Elordi. You're going to cover him in makeup.
You need a big old boy.
That's all he's doing.
That's why it's why Rob Zombie has Tyler Mane. We just watched the Rob Zombie's Halloween 2007,
God,
and everyone
I
told
love
me it was
it's
horrible.
So good.
Everyone's like, it's so
Halloween
bad.
Halloween 2
it's so bad.
Is actually my favorite.
I went into it being like, okay, this Rob Zombie's Halloween, we're not going to enjoy it, but I've never seen it, so, and we
it's
need something
really
from the
good.
2000s.
It's great.
I actually really enjoyed it, and I understand the issue that a lot of people don't like that they added in a backstory to Michael Myers rather than him just being
also,
more just like the pure evil that he is.
Also,
just
people don't like that they're all goth and shit, too. That everyone, because they like everyone being pure, and then Michael coming and killing
and
the,
being
pure
the pure
people.
Evil, exactly.
You know, like, and that's why I get it, but like, I love it.
Yes, I like what Rob Zombie did to it, and I know that a lot of people do, like, oh my God, how he writes women and stuff. It's like, yeah, that's like the thing, though. It's funny.
It's
that
a trashy horror movie.
He's specifically writing it in that style. Mm-hmm. He's going off of old grindhouse films. It is specifically to.
It's exactly. It's grindhouse rather than slasher, and again, those are two different. Sometimes genres.
But also, I think that Damon Leone is taking quite a bit from Rob Zombie's directing style.
Absolutely.
What I have loved.
That's why, yes.
What I love about Rob Zombie's films, and again, we're Rob Zombie apologists on the show.
We've
always been this way. That's how we are.
I like them.
Most people dislike it.
A lot of people don't like it.
Well, they can go fuck themselves.
Exactly, Eddie.
I know.
Eddie. But there's something about Damon.
I mean, he's made some shit movies.
Sure,
he
yeah.
He certainly has. I'm not saying it.
His last batch has been rough. But
But I watch them all.
What Damien Leone has done is realized like they're extremely good at. Rob Zombie tone shifts awesomely. Like, he does this great thing, especially in the Devil's Rejects world, mm-hmm. in that, like, world where he portrays
the first
innocence.
Third of that movie is almost unwatchable, and then the rest of it's a comedy.
I love it. I absolutely love it. The Devil's Rejects is probably top five horror films.
It's one of my favorite horror movies.
And the thing about is the way he portrays the innocent is funny because he obviously, and like, he shows contempt
it's
for
like
the
he
innocent.
He can't wait to kill them.
Yes, he shows contempt for the innocent, which is for us as a viewer, I love. I love as a truly morbid person. Like,
oh God,
Terrifier 3.
Was bad.
No, Monsters was bad. Really but bad. Terrifier 3, but actually it's had some more moments than you thought it deserved. It actually had more
did
good
it,
stuff
because I
it
shut
deserved.
It off.
Yes.
So
yeah,
maybe
no,
I
finished it.
Time.
It wasn't that bad. El Superbisto is unwatchable.
Unwatchable.
31
is unwatchable.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, but the rest of them are fine. And then the new one, the sequel, the third Devil's Rejects was a
oh
was
my
rough.
God.
But I just feel bad because Sid Haig was so
they,
sick.
Why did they drag him there? I guess he needed something to do.
They were just trying, literally, according to Rob Zombie, they were just trying to get him on film one last time. And so that was
sometimes
the whole
thing. You gotta get someone out of the house.
Because also Sid Haig was supposed to be the guy that replaced him.
And
he was not supposed to, he was supposed to be in the entire movie.
Yeah.
And then he got replaced. So the whole thing got changed. So that I can understand. But Three from Hell. Damon Leone does it so well, especially in Terrifier 3, because, like, you know, spoilers, but you the whole, like, all of the sentimentality, like, he does this thing where the music kicks in, and it's, like, emotional, and it's, like, a good drama scene. Like, he's made these, like, couple things, like, a good old-fashioned, like, that's a, like...
Beautiful family.
It reminds me of Elm Street. It reminds me of a thing of we're caring... You are making me, like...
Care about these people,
well, I'm watching all of these tremendously lovely people that I know that are all gonna be fucking
dead,
tortured.
Dead.
And I'm so excited for it.
Yeah.
As a viewer. I can't wait. And that's what it is. It's almost like when Rob Zombie does it, when Damon Leone does it, it's almost like, you know, they say you put a little salt on a watermelon.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it taste good.
Oh, God.
You put a little salt on a watermelon.
You just reminded me of a scene from Terrifier 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's good you take the watermelon, you put it in the ocean and eat it that way. That's a good trick. You want? I got a fun Sid Haig story
get brain worms
for you.
Ooh, tell us the Sid Haig story.
So I'm at Montreal Comedy Festival doing warm-up for Roast Battle, the TV show. And there's a lot of celebrities in the audience. It's like full, like half of the X-Men are there because they were filming in Montreal at the time. It was like crazy. And then as I'm warming up, you know, you're calling them out and shit like that. I see fucking Sid Haig in the audience. And I was like, whoa. I was like, that's the celebrity I want to meet, fucking Sid Haig. And I was like, give it up for Sid Haig, everybody. You know, like blowing up his spot and shit. And it wasn't him. It was just some ugly dude.
Oh, no. Well, at least you roasted him real good before that show.
Honestly, it does help.
Yeah.
It does help. He's like, at least I look like somebody.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, but no one knows who the fuck Sid Haig is.
Oh, like, my God. Like...
That's sad. They should have. He was like...
Apparently, he's very nice, though. My husband has met him. And I know he's dead now.
He's dead.
He was nice when he was alive, is what I'm saying.
Now he's cold. And food for the worms.
Oh, yeah. But Bride of Frankenstein, it was good. It was fine. But, like, what I did of their classic, we have a classic section.
Yes.
And I also watched American Werewolf in London.
Which I figured you'd love.
I've seen it before, but I never finished it because it's so slow. And I always watched it when I was super young.
I think I've always fallen asleep while watching
the end.
It.
Rocks.
So make it so yeah, start
end,
it again.
It's
okay.
Rocks. It's so good.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I loved American Werewolf in London. It's funny. It's like got a great story and character development. Everyone should just go out and make sure they watch that on the 31.
So
good.
Hell yeah. Love
also,
that.
I do have a correction. Okay. I was wrong on the title of the film that I had entered into our 31
yes.
for 31.
I need this. I need this help.
I have redone it because I realized it was not the film that I thought it was. I'm a moron. I've changed it. I'm going to change it officially. We'll put it onto socials.
Well, I will say with our 32 movies on our 31 for 31.
I forgot. Yeah,
so
I know.
You could just take it off.
I could just take it off. but I'm adding The House October Built. Which I also think is an extremely, because I added a whole found footage section because I'm a bitch for fucking found footage.
VHS Beyond, bro.
I'm going to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I've been waiting. The House's October Built is
great. Oh, you added it to the list.
I did. It's extremely scary. I think it's really good.
Is it?
I really like it. I also forgot how much I love the original VHS.
The original VHS is great, but again, VHS Beyond, because I feel like the last couple of VHSs were not, you know, with anthology movies.
I haven't seen any of them. I'm excited for the first one.
The best part about anthology movies is that, like, well, if
it
you
switches
don't like,
it up,
yeah,
you'll like the next
switch
one.
It up. You might not, you'll probably like the next one. And I've liked at least two in every single VHS movie.
I saw the wedding scene in VHS 2, and that was pretty fucking cool.
Fun. It's a fun one. Yeah.
It's great. But also, that one has the best binding glue of all of them, the VHS. The original has a really good binding glue in terms of the runner bit.
The theme.
The theme bit is good.
That's why I like VHS Beyond, because I didn't know anything about it. We just popped it on. I didn't realize it was all alien stories. And
I did not know it was all aliens.
It's alien stories. And God, Jeff knew the name of the dude that is the through line. Like, apparently he's this, you're going to know who he is. It's some big alien dude that does these like interstitials in between.
Nice.
But what I like is that every alien is very different in every section. Like, it's all,
I think they're getting better
fun.
At making these.
Justin Long makes a really fun one. It's stuff that you don't expect,
okay.
And I really enjoyed it.
Well, also, I really like the first one, but also I put another one of my truly favorite found footage movies on here, Lake Mungo.
Yeah.
Lake Mungo is fun.
Have you ever seen it?
Oh, yeah. We did it last year.
I haven't gotten to it yet.
Lake Mungo has got Twin Peaks vibes.
Yes. Oh, okay.
But it's very good.
All
it's
right.
Very good. Very scary. Very creepy, very scary.
I'm very excited for that. You know what? Going back to the anthology horror movies that I like the ones from the 90s. There's two in particular that I watched a bunch growing up that I wish that now I want to rewatch them.
Tales of Terror?
No, but Tales from the Hood.
Yeah, Ooh, Tales from the Hood is my favorite.
Yeah.
July
4th. Bags.
Body Bags is great. It's on Shudder.
Oh, is it? I don't have Shudder.
It's great. It's worth it. Always. I've been chilling for Shudder for forever. But Tales from the Hood is my favorite July 4th horror movie. Now, I don't know
Hell
what it
yeah.
is. There's something about that movie. I've watched it on July 4th almost
the
every
soundtrack's
year.
Soundtrack's great, too, by the
it's
way.
It's great. There's something about this movie that makes me think of The Sins of America. That it is just great.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the one time, man, I will say, though, it's movie two. It's one issue about me choosing the movie. That I have to remember, because it's like, sometimes I'll choose a movie and I'll be like, everybody's going to love this. And like, we did something, we had people had over. I was like, they were like, let's throw on a movie. And I was like, Tales from the Hood. And I put it on and everyone was sad. I forgot that. It was like, people get really sad with this movie too. But I was like, but it's got the Little Penny.
Fine.
It's got a little Penny in it.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Which is still one of my favorite side characters of all time that I miss from the 90s as well.
Little Penny.
Yeah, you remember Little Penny?
Oh, yeah. I remember. I was an Orlando Magic fan. Anthony Hardaway.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's why there are just certain movies that I love to throw on that are completely mindless. Now, this is my first time going through the... So every year, we add on a new Friday the 13th. And I'm going to be real with you. 2 years ago, I had never seen the original Friday the 13th. So every year, we watch the next one. So last year, we watched the second one. This year, we watched the third one.
Third
one, you know...
It's the worst one.
Yeah.
It really wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I guess because everyone told me it was the worst one.
Then you were prepared
for it. He's not even in it.
Yeah.
No, he isn't it. He's in this one. This is where he gets the mask.
Oh, then it's four he's not in.
Yes. This is the one where he gets the mask for the first time rather than just wearing the hood. So I never realized the origin of
the mask.
Yeah, there's
two movies, no mask.
And I really, because this is my first time going through this series, I really thought that by the time you get to the third one, it's going to be a real stinko. And sure, it's mindless. It's not reinventing the Friday the 13th genre.
No, wait till you get to seven. Seven's badass.
But I'm excited to go on the journey of as it goes up and down through time when they're make another one. Put another one on.
And sometimes I will say, and this is probably where I get the most flack, is that I think the Friday the 13th is my least favorite of the bit top.
Well, because it's clearly a knockoff.
Yeah.
Clearly a knockoff.
I like
of
Jason
Halloween.
Ended up being. I like what he got to. I like the later on ones. Yeah, but it's one day I'll come back to it because it's funny because it's both Natalie and I's least favorite.
I know,
you ever see the movies that made us of Friday the 13th?
No.
It's a night. There was a nightmare. Everyone got hurt. Terrible set.
That.
The reboot?
No, the original Friday the 13th with Kevin Bacon and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have the movies that made us or the documentaries on Netflix. Yeah. They have one about that. And it was just it was a nightmare to make.
Of course. That's great. Yeah, of course. No money out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, just torturing everyone involved.
Oh, hell yeah. But again, I do want to say about Friday the 13th Part 3, I was very stoned while I watched it, so it really was.
Again,
don't go into it thinking that your life is about to be changed.
Okay, yeah, that's Jason Lives.
No, this is Friday the 13th Part 3.
Oh no, what's the tag though?
It's just Part 3.
Oh, it is Jason Lives. I guess.
Oh, it is Jason. Oh no, it is Part 3. Okay, it's Part 3.
Oh man, that's and that's why it's good to do, because you never know the gems inside of the franchise.
You know what?
It's like Hellraiser. Hellraiser's my favorite. Is my favorite of all the franchises.
Hellraiser. Yeah.
But because I like the bad ones too. I'm a Hellraiser 3 stan.
Ooh.
Life from your grave.
Well, I'm also excited. This is a movie I remember the VHS cover, and they did a reboot of it, and I haven't seen that either. Do you remember the movie Cube?
Yes.
From the 90s.
No. Cube's bad.
I remember Gleaming the Cube, but that was an action movie.
Oh, that was an action movie.
Cube is not as good as you remember
it. No. I remember
it's
the VHS cover.
All talking. That's what you forget.
Oh,
you
damn.
You forget about Cube, because I went to go rewatch it, and I was tired or whatever, and you're oh yeah, because the fucking, all of the visual elements of Cube are awesome, and you're like, oh, these great.
I thought it was going to be scary, is it not?
It's just... talking.
Damn it. Damn. It's hard to find good every year because, we do 50s or earlier, 60s, 70s, 90s, 80s, and we do all of it. 90s every year, I'm just all right.
Well, because sometimes they are real hit and miss.
Because I've seen, don't get me wrong, you can always watch Scream again. You can watch 13 Ghosts again. I want to watch new ones, though. I'm trying to find ones that I've never seen.
Yeah. I think that, Jackie.
But there's usually a reason why you haven't seen
them. Yes, and you've seen quite a bit of horror films.
I was talking to Julie about this this week, where we were just talking about horror movies in general, and she was she asked a very interesting question, which I'm going to pose to you, and then I'll ask the question from Julie to me, and I'll answer for me, but I want to hear your all's answers. She asked
I'm Julie.
Well, you don't know the question.
I'm Eddie. Am I Eddie?
I'm Julie.
I'm both.
You are you. I'm Julie.
You leave my wife out of it. You can say whatever you want about me.
Okay.
No, but she asked me, which horror movie have you seen that you wish you wrote? And
God.
And I was like, I couldn't help. I sat there and I thought about it. And I think the horror movie I wish I wrote that I like the most, in a weird way, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight.
Yeah, ooh, I like it. That's a good one.
Really?
You're not overshooting it.
No, it's
you're not
hilarious.
Being like, I wish I wrote Hereditary.
Yeah.
You're not overshooting it.
That makes sense. Because honestly, first thought that came to my mind, Psycho Goreman.
Ooh,
I love Psycho Goreman.
They got a new one coming out.
Yes, they do.
They've got a new, oh my God, I love Psycho Goreman. And I love just like that. Talk about a horror comedy that does it right. That is so, like, I guess it's more a sci-fi comedy than
it's
anything,
pretty horror.
Yeah, but there's also horror elements.
They're ripping
to it.
People apart.
My honest opinion is that if there was one I wish I could write is something in the style basically of The Ring.
Yeah.
Ooh. The Ring, something simple. Something
simple.
Just...
That's my cue, is that if you're going to be scary, it's so scary. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Scary is so, like, it's just like funny. Mm-hmm. It's entirely subjective. Pretty much,
yeah.
Like you are. Everybody has their own parameters of what they find scary or what or not whatnot, and it's also like it's about timing and it's about how do I deliver this idea so simply and into the person's brain. You know what I mean? Like that's what dread is. Dread is like it's weird how dread in films are. It's off by like inches. Like you can tell like why when I'm watching David Lynch.
Oh, dread is the emotion.
Locked in.
I was thinking of like, Dread, the movie.
The movie, yes. Dread.
When I'm watching David Lynch, there's something about the way, it's literally about the composition of the shot and the timing and the atmosphere that he knows technically that allows you to feel this sense of thick, purposeful dread. Yeah. But you can tell the difference between the movies that are dreadful and extremely boring. But I don't quite know what that difference is, but you know that it's a difference.
But it's different for everybody, too.
It does. It's entirely subjective. But I mostly find that people who don't have budgets think that they can pull off dread. And they don't understand that dread is probably one of the most complex filmic elements of the horror genre.
And what you do with less. I actually was thinking about, I just saw that it's open for streaming. I talked about it in the last one that we did, talking about horror movies. Oddity. That's another movie that, like, I feel like for some people might come off as boring, but I was so like rapt the entire time.
Depends on the dread
that was created from it that I thought was like really creepy imagery, very, very unsettling.
The movie that I always think of as the biggest failure in that is that what was the one with Harry Potter? That stupid garbage
Tusk?
Horror movie that he did?
No, not Tusk. That's the
What's
Kevin
his name?
Smith movie.
It was like the Black House.
I didn't bother with
it. It's like those type of movies. It's kind of how I felt about, unfortunately, it's how I felt about The Shape of Water.
Oh, I love The Shape of Water,
the
but
Shape
it doesn't
of water,
need dread.
What was it? And then his other And then also, fortunately, Guillermo del Toro's other movie, the gothic horror that he did, where I was just
Pan's Labyrinth?
No, not that one. Not Horns.
Not Horns.
Is good.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I was thinking, though, of Tusk, though. That's why
I was
thinking.
No, Horns is good. The one that he did.
The one where he has to, like, staple the guns to his hands?
It's like he goes
guns
to.
Guns Akimbo?
No, Guns Akimbo is good.
That's
There's
fun.
One where he was, like, it's like he's in front of a house. And they're like, it's sad in there. There was a ghost in that house.
Do you know
The Woman in Black. That movie fucking sucks dick.
Just literally looking through Daniel Radcliffe movies.
That's the movie sucks
That's
dick.
That's the movie it sucks dick.
Well, you know what I find?
I like Daniel Radcliffe.
I do too.
I
love
Daniel
him as an
Radcliffe.
Actor. I think he's doing great shit. I love his work. I just think that that was not his fault. I'm just showing that's an example of a movie that thinks it's dreadful, but it's just boring.
You know what movie's fucking dreadful? It Follows.
That's exactly. That is the ultimate definition.
Yes.
I did one. I actually said, have you ever done that with like a comedy or even with any one of these movies where I've always watched a movie? That movie always freaked me out. I love It Follows. And then the last time I watched it, I'm sitting watching it and I'm just like, it's just a naked old man far away.
Yeah.
And then I realized
yeah,
like,
I
it like broke. I know, but
me.
It like broke the movie for me when I was just like, that's just a guy over there.
Well,
walking.
You can say that about any ghost.
Ooh, I know, but it was
sequel.
Like, I ruined it. You ever do that where it like ruined it for myself just for that night?
Yeah, I get
where
that.
I'm like sitting and watching it. I've just been like,
well, it's like The Shining. The first time you see the bear giving the dude a blowjob, it's terrifying. Now it's fun.
Now I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like, I want to, I was
look
like,
look at him getting his.
I want to know him. You know, I want to hang out with him.
Yeah, dude.
I want him to have a show on the network.
All right, so what on our list have you not seen that you're most excited for?
The thing that I'm saving towards the end are Gungeum Haunted Asylum, and
so
I am saving Noroi the Curse, which is also
so good.
Wonderful. I'm also saving this weekend, we're gonna bang some out right, yes. Eddie? We're going to go to your house. We're going to probably do, I'd say we do these
watch
franchises.
Tonight.
I want to do Elm Street together, and I want to do Halloween 6 together.
I'm really excited for Blood Diner. I've owned the DVD for like a decade and never watched it.
Also, what's nice is that, and you like Jennifer's Body too,
I
right?
love Jennifer's Body.
I thought
for sure I was going to hate it. That's why I haven't seen it. It wasn't like I was scared or
isn't
anything.
Isn't it funny?
It seemed awful. It got bad reviews. I was like, fuck this movie.
No, dude,
fuck
it
Juno.
It was great.
Certain movies that like, honestly.
I hated Juno.
And I felt
famously
that way
I hated Juno.
About the Terrifier series that I was like, I'm not going to like it. It's not for me. And then sometimes you just got to check it out and you're like, damn, what? Wow.
And that's the lesson we're going to leave you with tonight.
Yeah, it's okay to dislike some horror movies. Horror movies, it's the only genre of film that if it's a bad one, I'm not mad that I watched it.
Yeah,
same. Well, I also kind of feel like that with action movies, but that's different. You know what I mean? That's just a good time. But
yeah.
But I want to leave you with this, is that I think it's important. No VHS unturned. So if you go out there and you're afraid to see a movie, you don't know what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the best thing you ever seen. You have no idea you have no idea that you haven't seen your favorite movie yet.
Yeah.
But also highly recommend Shudder, because Shudder is a great app to just
and it takes a chance.
It's got so many great indie weird.
This is why
movies.
You two know so much more than I.
Oh, well, yeah. Also just constantly it's all I watch.
I just love horror movies.
I don't watch television, I don't watch anything else. I don't watch the news. I don't watch anything but horror movies and YouTube.
Also, I'm going to say I'm very upset.
I'm destroyed. I have a 14-year-old's brain.
Apparently the remake of Speak No Evil apparently is really good, and I on principle didn't want
to
go
see it. No,
it's
not
like
good.
It's
supposed to not be good. Rob says it's not good
because it's got all these insane reviews.
They're lying to us.
It has to be lies. It has to be lies.
Sometimes
movies. You've seen the trailer, you've seen the movie.
Yes. I know, that's the thing. And I love the original, and I don't want to see. I mean, I like James McAvoy, but I don't know if I need to see it.
Watch the original. You know what had great reviews that I thought was fucking doo doo? Was that new serial killer movie, Strange Darling.
You were talking about this. I haven't seen it yet.
Caca poo poo, in my
opinion. I'll watch it at some point.
Yeah, it's the new. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, the twist.
Oh, I liked it.
Oh,
I'll
watch it at some point. It's just like one of those things that goes like Saltburn is like, they're like trying to impress me with how edgy they are. And I'm like, I've seen it.
I understand, but that's me. To me, that's when
still
I get my.
Effective, though.
That's me when I get to my most boomer, when I'm yelling about, like, we did it 10 years ago.
I like
you know, every
darling.
Single time I see, like, offensive comedy where it's like, we did it already. You know what I mean? But I also understand.
Yeah.
It's time for people to find new things, and there's always a shot.
They
did
try something, I will say that.
I've got such a soft spot for any horror movie that's like, well, you know, they're trying to hit it out of the park, and it was an hour and a half, and I didn't look at the time the entire time.
I mostly just like to see that they're trying. So go.
You didn't do Joker.
Oh, we didn't do
Joker. Is Joker a horror movie?
Right before we talk about this, this is my one statement on Joker 2. I'm going to say this right now. Spoilers a little bit. Joker 2 seems to be made upon the premise that everybody who sort of liked Joker 1, which is everybody, according to them, went to go see Joker 1. I did not particularly enjoy Joker 1. I felt that it was a ripoff of The King of Comedy. And the reason why I went to go see it was because it had the words The Joker in it and it had Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. And I just wanted to see what that was. I was disappointed with what it was in the end. And then in the end, what it seems that Todd Phillips has decided is that Joker 2 is a response to those people that like Joker for he considers to be the wrong reasons. And then that's the reason why they punish the Joker throughout the entire film. And then they rape him until he's not the Joker anymore, which is the single worst lesson I've seen in a film. It'd be like if the end of the Joseph Fritzl story, if Elizabeth was like, you know what, actually, I miss my dad.
Yeah.
And so it is not
it
like,
is fun to watch a troll trolls, though.
But do it on your own time. Do it on Twitter, like everybody else, because you spent $200 million that should have went to North Carolina.
Also, that movie did not need $200 million
made. Well, it did at least need 52 for Joaquin, Lady Gaga, and Todd Phillips.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, I don't know where the hell it went. Just the fact that, I mean, spoiler. You can skip this. Skip.
It's the end of the episode.
But it's just like, the fact that she wasn't the one that bombed them in the end was the dumbest shit.
That didn't make any sense.
The baby plot line went fucking absolutely nowhere. He didn't smile at the end. Like, the idea of, like, now Todd Phillips is trying to say the ending showed that he had acceptance about dying. He's like, no, he didn't. you looked upset. And then the stupid Heath Ledger Easter
got,
egg.
Like, passed on.
Yeah,
to
it's
that.
The dumbest and shit I've ever seen. All of the constant, like, it's also like, if you're going to have songs, be a fucking musical. If you can spend $200 million, hire some fucking actors and some fucking instruments.
And also don't hire Lady Gaga and tell her not to sing.
And then have them just whisper sing. And this is my thing. Is that
they didn't even have a big musical number.
Do something different with some of the songs. Try a new thing with one of the songs. Try something else with one of the fucking songs.
I did like that they used The Joker by Sammy Davis Jr. I was real mad that that song wasn't in the first
movie. Just, it sounds like they went to, that movie sounded like they went to Wikipedia and said, what are songs that have clowns in it? And then they just kind of put it in things. It's just,
look who's angry now.
Sometimes you just gotta calm down, Henry.
Think about Pearl.
Pearl was one of the most expertly made sequels I've ever seen.
I didn't like it.
Listen to them, Henry. They're, you know.
Maxine was far superior.
I loved Gamora. But I'm at peace with Eddie's opinions because this is America.
Yes, right?
And nor should I attack Eddie for his beliefs.
Good for you, Henry. We've grown a lot this year.
I really, really have. So thank you guys so much.
Henry has grown a lot in his...
Well, yeah, sideways, yeah. Yeah, in his midsection, Eddie.
How can I break this cycle of pain? Maybe if a bunch of cops come and rape Eddie, he'll stop making fun of me.
Oh, Joker, do it! Oh, we gotta get out of here.
It would be sex, not rape, because I love it. I love you boys.
And that's why Eddie runs a show called The Brighter Side, which is that he's always keeping a look on the brighter side. Patreon.com/LastPodcast. I'd love to watch us do all this shit in the flesh. Go at LP on the left for all the social bullshits for some reason. Go to twitch.tv/LPNTV to see our Twitch shows. We're working very hard on them. They're great. Who's the Bitch is another new one. It's great.
Come check it out.
Goo-Goo's a great one. We got Good Put coming up on October 24th.
And 2 weeks from now, we are going to have a big show in LA. The Wiltern. Last podcast on the left. Woo! It's going to be fucking unbelievable. I can't wait for that. It's a fucking bucket list venue for me. And then the following month in December, we're going to be in Brooklyn playing King's fucking Theater.
Mookie's back in Brooklyn! No, he's not. He lives in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and he does live back in Brooklyn.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Miss Mookie.
Yeah.
What's up, Mookie?
I'll invite him to the show.
Yeah, please. Jackie, where can people find you for your show?
No, I didn't want to talk about any of that. I just wanted everyone to know that I wasn't actually drinking this Oreo Coke Zero. I just opened it so I could try a sip of it.
And someone don't protest.
It is not,
Can I actually try that?
Yeah, you can definitely try it.
I'll try it.
Yeah, it's a Coke
Zero.
But
Who's the Bitch is doing great. I love this show.
Yeah, hit up whosthebitch.com if you've got a problem that needs some advice. It can be big. It can be small. We need all your juice. It's better than it could be. That's for damn sure. I feel like it reminds me of the Manhattan soda, like the espresso soda.
Yes.
The Oreo Coke Zero, but we're not sponsored by them, so don't fucking buy them.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. Fuck them.
All right. Go get fucking Tab. See you soon, Hail Satan.